Hello, guys. Welcome. It's Behind the Bunker, Monday night. Paintball podcast episode 522, otherwise 644 is our show. My name is Todd Ansich. Thank you guys for joining me. No Gavin Sharmer tonight. No Josh Zubizabrigas tonight. Just Joe Kimson and I.
Just me, but I'm here with Todd in studio. We will do our best. No, we will do our bestest. And we will give you a good show. We've got lots to talk about. This topic about can you standardize woods ball paintball rules got a lot of chatter happening. I think we can talk a lot about that and, you know, maybe come to a conclusion or not, but we'll see what happens.
Speaking of jump to conclusions, Matt, we have also Matt, the producer, that's with us tonight, so he'll be joining in on the conversation, hopefully.
If we're lucky.
So here we go. Strap in. Make sure you guys hit that like and share. So that we see you guys working there. And we don't have YouTube going if you guys are looking for our YouTube feed. I forgot to load it. So it will be up later tonight. I'll upload it, but unfortunately we're not streaming there live tonight. So as Joe mentioned, the topic tonight is, could woods ball or scenario paintball ever have standardized rules so that we can rank teams and players across the world? And maybe ranking is a tough one, but certainly knowing who's the winningest general, who has run the most missions successfully, that sort of stuff. I just, with the Icon Awards at the summit a couple of weeks ago, it would be cool if we could have that for, you know, not just speedball, but and it's hard. Like, it's it's subjective voting if you want to find out who's the best scenario player, who's the best general, that sort of stuff. Like, it's sort of subjective unless you can actually have some stats to back it up. So that's sort of my thought, and I thought it would be a fun exercise to go through. And I'm not saying, I'm not trying to point fingers or whatever, but I'm looking for some constructive suggestions on how we could maybe do that. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, that paintball.media has their latest magazine out, and it covers the Summit Awards and trade show as well. So if you guys were interested in any of that, by all means, you check that out. Call back to last week's show. Tonight's show is brought to you by our new sponsor, Aer Lingus.
Did they land at French Lick?
They have that's their hub. I believe it's their hub.
Would it be called a hub?
Be called something. Maybe it's their hump. I don't know. Thank you to Phoenix Gasparini, Tiger Stripe Hoodies 2024, sending 20 stars. Thank you. Garland, Texas, April 26th to 28th will be the Lone Star major there for the NXL. So if you guys are interested, head on over there. If that's not your forte, head on over to Full to Gap on November 1st to 3rd for the Soviet invasion. And make sure you guys sign up for the Blue Squad for Mr. Bricktop. Here's a trivia question, and I won't give away the answer yet unless you guys get it right away. But I watched a documentary on the beginnings of the people that make Angel and Angel markers and the Angel eyes, which we know as WDP. But what does WDP stand for?
Yeah. Wow, that pretty.
Yeah. So if you guys know, post it up in the live chat, and I'll let you know if anybody gets it correct. But I do have the answer, and I have the origin of how they got that answer, too. So unfortunately, I don't have the link to the video, which I should have. But it's a good one if you're interested in finding it. Don't forget, Behind the Bunker merch is still up on our website, behindthebunker.com. You can go over there to our online store and check it out. This is nothing to do with paintball, but I'm going to have an open gripe. Hold on. Somebody may have got it. Charles Arthur Kennedy guesses Who Dares Play? It's exactly what it is. Who Dares Play is where they get WDP. So that was the brothers started a paintball field, and that's where it started. They called it Who Dares Play.
That's like the SAS logo is Who Dares, or the SAS motto is Who Dares Something.
Yeah. So, pretty cool. Good for you, Charles Arthur Kennedy, for getting that. I did not know. A little bit of a gripe I have this week. Within an hour, Yeah, sorry. I've been getting a ton of spam text messages, and they're getting very strong. This one here, they detected my vehicle was going 56 kilometers an hour in a school zone where the limit is 30. It is strongly advised that I make a payment right away to the Ontario court. Otherwise, it'll be bad news. That's a clever one. I got this one today that from TD, that alert 4724 is part of my bank account number, which it's not. Someone needs to confirm my credentials immediately that I should text them back. I said no. Our system has detected unusual transactions. I don't know why they think I bank there, but that came in as well. And then this one. Hi, Dad, I've broken my phone. This is my new number. I'm having some problems. Can you send all our old pictures on WhatsApp, please? So you guys are getting good, whoever you are out there trying to get something past us. All right, so we don't have Gavin and we don't have Josh tonight, but we do have possibly a special guest joining us shortly. And before we get to that, we do have, last week we did not play The Vault, and I want to get to that in a moment, as well as Paintball Antiques Roadshow, one of our last episodes of that we have coming up as well. So why don't we play those now, and then when we come back, we'll get into tonight's topic.
Hey, it's Joe from Flaggers Paintball here with another segment from The Vault, where we go back in history, back in the early days of paintball, and I show you something that's kind of old, something that's cool, and something you may not have seen. Today is no different. Today I'm going to bring you back to, everybody's heard the horror stories of IPG, International Paintball Games, where they go and sell tickets and no one can ever redeem them and it's not right. Anyway, we had a company back in the early days of Flaggers, as you can tell by the logo. This is probably early 90s. It's called Promotional Industries. They would go door to door to businesses, salons, wherever, and they would sell this booklet of 12 coupons for $45. And that would get everybody all day play, their goggles, their gun, their first CO2 cartridge, but it wouldn't include any paint. So we would get the people to the field, they would have to buy their paint and stuff like that, but it was actually a great deal to get people into the game and get people hooked. So if people are looking for some kind of way to enhance their numbers out of paintball field or get into the game inexpensively or use it for a fundraiser, this is the way to go. It's pretty cool. It's by Promotional Industries. We did it back in the early 90s, but it just sort of shows you where we came. This was in between the Yellow Pages and probably way before social media became a thing, but Yellow Pages was popular back then. This actually expires November 1993. Says it right there. So there you go. Thanks for watching this week's segment from The Vault. We'll see you next time. Pew, pew.
Hey, guys. Todd Ansys from Behind the Bunker. This is our weekly segment called Antique Paintball Roadshow. Check it out.
All right. We're back with Kenny. But the problem is we've been talking about all of this great stuff you have here, but I need something Canadian. What do you have that has Canadian on?
Well, this is Canadian right all over. This is a movie prop from a movie, October Fraction. Season 1, Episode 11, The Warlock Slayer. In the movie, they made four for the movie production.
Wow, I remember seeing that movie.
Hi. So that promotional coupon, if Todd going, I don't know if I would buy one. Everyone has heard of IPG or International Paintball that kind of ran a similar program. They would go in the malls. But these guys worked exclusively for us, and they would go business to business. They'd go to hair salons, whatever. They would just go up and down the street, and they would go into the business and sell them. But this is 1993, so yeah.
I just think they're... People are more suspecting now,
but that predates the internet. You know, have people having desktop computers and stuff like that. Like, people were still phoning in, and you know, we were faxing group organizer package. So that kind of went hand in hand with our Yellow Page advertising and our giant word of mouth. So that was a pretty cool thing, and we did it also for the. For Paintball City in Toronto. For those of you that don't know, I was involved. Brad Moss, who originally started Badlands, and I opened the original Paintball City, and it was in North York. And we had them selling for Paintball City as well. Paintball City was Canada's first indoor paintball field, which is kind of cool. Back in 19, probably, I had my Jeep, so 89, 88, 89, 90, somewhere around there. So we had that.
Jeff Thompson says you probably visited hair salons in 1993 too, but he had them. Joe looked like Matthew McConaughey back in 93.
I sure looked like a little bit like Matthew McConaughey. I did not live in an Airstream trailer, though, Todd.
All right, all right. I was going to say, the other thing that you almost got away with back then is, well, first of all, you could have advertised with, like, the Boy Scouts and stuff like that. You could have almost have gotten into certain schools at that time before paintball became less politically incorrect for a while. But yeah, advertising back then was a whole lot different, that's for sure.
Do you remember when we would have the high school phys ed leadership classes? They would come very, very early in the morning so the kids didn't have to miss any school. So they would show if their phys ed class went from like 9:30, it was like a longer class, so it went from 9:30 till 11, but they would show up at the outdoor or at the indoor at 7:30, and they would play for a full 2 hours, then they would leave, they'd be back at school unbeknownst to anybody in above the school level, so any of the superintendents and above that, but they would show up, play their paintball, have an awesome time, and be back at school before anybody knew anything was going on. Pretty crazy how things happened back then.
That's when people could keep secrets. That's keep true. Your mouth shut and we'll be able to have some fun. Otherwise, we're going to go bowling instead. Yeah, I mean, our gym class, we had an opportunity to do all that sort of stuff. I mean, we went bowling and pool and whatever fringe sports they could come up with. Unfortunately, with our class, we didn't do paintball, but there were lots of schools used to. And remember the church groups that used to come out too by the hundreds.
Well, that was still a very popular commodity with the Saturday church groups. It's a great, you know, as much as it's paintball, it's still a fantastic team building activity. It's inclusive. Anybody can do it. You don't need to be a super athlete to do it. So I think, you know, it's great for those sort of activities where you have a really diverse population of people that want to get together, do something together they can.
Yeah. Speaking of inclusive, Dan and Hardy says, I remember shooting air rifles in physical education. That's cool. Wish we would have done that in ours.
That's true.
Yeah. So let's chat a little bit. We'll get into tonight's topic and I'll post it up here. Could woods ball or even scenario paintball have standardized rules or gameplay or anything in a way where teams and players across the world could be ranked so that you would know sort of, you know, who's the most successful general, what teams have, you know, taken the most wins, that sort of thing. And I bring up Tippmann Challenge. So Tippmann had a game called the Tippmann World Challenge where they invited fields across the entire world to have a game
that
on the same
BT.
Day. Was it BT?
It was BT.
I thought Tippmann was a part of that too. Didn't Tippmann have a World Challenge?
Tippmann had the whatever commando, or not whatever, PBL promoted. That was like the Tippmann, what do they call the Tippmann, whatever, what's commando game? That's the Tippmann Challenge, but it's different. But yeah. It was the BT big game.
First of all, I'm going to address a gripe that's happening in our live chat. Thank you to Phoenix Gasparini for sending 20 stars, not once, but twice. And then thank you to Jeff Thompson for shoving it down her throat and giving us 41 stars. You're starting something, Jeff. I like it, but you're starting something.
His own galaxy.
Yeah. So we're going to start watching you guys in the live chat and let us know what you guys...
Roger Weber says Hell Survivors Paintball started the Tippmann World Challenge.
There we go. Who's... Hello? Someone on the line? Hello?
Hello, can you hear me? Testing 1, 2, 3.
There we go.
Loud and clear.
Unfortunately. Let me turn you up a little bit. Here we go. Very good. So, how are you, Wolf? Can you hear us?
I can hear you perfectly.
Okay. Sorry about that. So we're just starting our conversation about could woods ball ever have standardized rules? And I said scenario ball too. And this kind of comes in off of 2 weeks ago, we had the Live Summit Awards where they were giving away, you know, awards for all kinds of scenario stuff, which is great. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. However, there's no way really right now for us to recognize the most successful paintball scenario team. There's no way for us to recognize the most successful general. Do you know what I mean? Like, I would love to be able to figure out a way where that could happen. And I get we're living in a bit of a, you know, in a dream world where we think we can actually do this. Could we do this?
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword because the one thing I love about, you know, woods ball slash scenario slash rec ball is that we have the variety, right? And it's like I like the fact that I can go to one game and it has a different set of rules. And it, like, for instance, if I go to Ion Skirmish, gun hits don't count. Or if I play in a certain mag-fed game, you know, if you get hit in your primary marker, then you can use your secondary. Or, you know what I mean? Like, there's so different styles that's out there. I mean, if you're gonna put it all into one category, you gotta really try to, I don't know, make it vague, but make it specific enough that everything fits in, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
That's the thing, right? It's like, that's why I like going to different fields and different events, is that it's always a different scenario, no pun intended. It's always a different circumstance. It's always a different situation you have to deal with. So yeah, how much similar do you want to make those events, right? So yeah, it's a tricky thing to do.
I agree with you, and I think I think when you go to a big gamer scenario, it's that event is fun. Like, I went to certain ones because I thought they would be fun. We hosted events that we thought people would be fun. Like, we did a Simpsons game. We did, you know, different, we did Vietnam themed games. I guess, you know, I appreciate that point and I agree with you on that. But it, could we develop a game system that you could still create storylines but have the same rules? Like, can you look at speedball and tournament paintball? It's changed from hyperball tubes from, you know, to inflatables, you know, half in and out of the bush. It's now got its sort of its own, you know, even the rules that we have right now, they've changed over the last 10 years quite a bit, from firing modes to penalty rules to how many bunkers are on the field. And even this year it's changed again. So
yeah,
could we, you know, and everybody, you know, and a lot of people in the live chat on the social medias, when they answered our question, were kind of pointing at NXL or Major League Paintball to be doing this. And you know what? This is not necessarily their job. I just thought if we could come up with something, or if someone could come up with something, could we do it?
100% agree. And the funny thing is, first of all, I got to give Tom Cole respect for including us into the World Major Paintball League, or the awards ceremony, or the summit slash the awards show, because there is no reason for him to have to do that. Like, it's very cool to include our style of paintball into what he's doing. So, you know, enough respect for that. And yeah, he's finding out the hard way that it's not easy, because it's woods ball is, I call it woods ball because not everything is scenario, not everything is wreck and what have you, but it's a segmented part of the game. And, you know, everyone has their own opinions on what's this and what's that. And it's not, it's to try and please us is not, is no simple task.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, I mean, you thought airsofters were bad, but it's like, if you were going to come up with a set of rules, it would have to be extremely vague. Like, you know, you can't break it down to, oh, how many balls you can shoot per second, or if you can use full automatic or semi-automatic. You would have to, it would have to be a little more vague and a little more.
Yeah.
For instance, how many players would it have to be considered, quote, a big game or a scenario big game?
Yeah.
or you know what I mean, and or how many points for taking a base or stuff like that. Like it would have to be broken down extremely.
Well,
like
I do like, okay, so remember Joe and I were just talking about this before you rudely called and interrupted, but we were talking about the big game that happened all across the world, and you either joined up for the red side or the blue side, and every field had a red and a blue side, and the fields would record who won so that there would be this general world map of, you know, did red sweep or did blue sweep it? And
yeah, but does that mean we get rid of like third parties, like we have the mercenaries in Super Game and Oregon? I love that third faction.
No, 100%. I'm just using that as an example that, you know,
Oh, yeah.
We sort of, for one day, everybody sort of adopted similar style rules. Now, granted, every field had slightly different rules, and that was fine, but there was at least one agreeable objective, and that was that one team won and one team lost. So for one day, the entire world agreed that we had a winner and a loser. So that's one thing.
But that, you know what, yeah. If you go back to that game, that was, could it have been 10 years ago? That was in the early days of, you know, not everyone had even cell phones or smartphones, and we were updating using a computer with an Excel spreadsheet. But now you could do something a little trickier, and I'm going to just, you know, chime in right now with what my comment would be, but You could have a sort of a scenario, a standardized set of scenario rules where you had X number of flag stations for each team, and then each flag station was, you know, X distance from the middle of the field or from the other team's entry point, and then you would have those in your kills area, eliminations would count. And then you would have a couple regular standard missions, but then you could have each field having a unique mission. Like, say, Flaggeter's Field, when we had one, we had an airplane, we had the guns of Navarone. And if you controlled those, then you would get, you know, you would get points. They would be home field points. And then, say, if you went to Hell Survivors, they would have four or five things that would be their home field points. And then, likewise, that other fields would have those four or five icons that would be their major points. You could probably work out something, and you could almost do like a series.
We have to...
Supposedly, I see what you're saying, but it's like, then again, that you would have to, I don't want to say dumb it down, but it's like, you have some games where...
Simplify,
thank you very much. You have some fields where you have like 10 specific marks on a map that you have to capture or hold. But then you have other bigger games like Folda Gap. They have like a ridiculous amount of points on their maps that you may have to hold or take control of. Or if you're playing with Sega, you know, you have to like dig up a treasure under UFO, unlock it from another base, and then get those coordinates to finish another mission, right? So yeah. It depends on how simplistic you want to make those rules or have them extend out to other forms of it.
Okay, so
if that makes any sense.
So we've talked about win or lose as something you can do, right?
Every action has a reaction. You need to create battles.
But if you, okay, so we've talked about, okay, so red, let's agree that we can have a red and a blue team, right? So that all shares. And we're also going to agree that we have a winner and a loser. But within each field or scenario, story game, whatever, there could still be at the end of the day, and again, we're looking at very broad terms here. Could be red team took, you know, six missions, where the blue team were successful on 12 missions, right? So there could be a win-lose ratio that way. So not only red team has won, but the blue team has a point for the most objectives, right? Like if you look at what they're doing right now with NXL for statistics for players, you can see that someone has a survivability percentage. They have a you can't do a kill ratio because, let's be honest, you can't, there's just no way to know that, you know, X person shot Y person, because it just too many things happening at once. But some of those are being tracked that are still very simplistic, but they mean a lot. So, you know, I don't know. There's no way to tell what general, I guess. But we're getting closer. We have maybe two now. You know?
I mean, you could even break it down as opposed to trying to break it down like points per, like maybe you can even simplify it even more. Like, you know, a winning general of a game gets, you know, 1 or 2 points, and then you can calculate how many generals have how many points at the end of the year, and then you get the top five or top, yep. you know, yep. top five or whatever type of thing.
But
as
it wouldn't
opposed
be,
to trying to regulate every single base in a game yeah. type of thing.
But it wouldn't be points. Like, if let's say you are the general and you won 3 of your 6 games that you played that year, it shouldn't be numbers accumulative. It should be a ratio. So you won 50%. Do you know what I mean? That way, if you only participate in, you know, you go to way more than someone else does, but he's got, yeah. he's only played 3, but he won all 3, then he's got a higher percentage that way, right? So, I mean, it's never going to be like comparing apples to oranges, but, or apples to apples, but like, you're still sort of getting some feedback that way.
The BT Big Gang was played in 2011, because I just searched calendar events on my phone and it came up with. So sometime there in 2011, we did the. It was called the BT World Game.
Yeah. So let's talk about, let's say Wolf as a player goes to X amount of games a year. But out of those X amount of games, let's say Wolf's team that he was playing for was the red team. And that, and he won, again, 65% of his games. That goes to you as a player that you've won 65% of the events that you've played. So that stack ranks you against every other player who, you know, some players may play 2 scenarios. Someone might go play 20 in a year, right? But at least you'd have that sort of, you know, that sort of number. And, you know, when you get...
So you need to register every game that you played then.
I think so.
So you can keep track of that.
I think so. I mean, that's what the competitive speedball guys have to do because they belong to a global, you know, the APPA number mm-hmm. or the PB leagues that they belong to. So there's one governing, controlling of what's happening with your stats, right? And the same thing happens. Like if you're like a runner and you go and you run, you know, the Boston Marathon and then you go run a 10K here and you go whatever, all of those stats get yeah. uploaded and you can find them online. You can see how fast you were, slow you were, what, where you rank in the world. Like, it's not
yeah,
something
but that's 100 times easier than what we do, though. Like, it's, I mean, you have to take into consideration, you know, it's not just about the generals. It's about the guys running the missions. It's about
yeah.
the medics running from team to team and, you know, writing down yeah. whoever he heals. It's about the guys, you know, doing those little missions and yeah. deactivating bombs and stuff.
But I think we're looking at too small of a thing here. Like, we're looking at the nuances of the game. I'm just looking for commonalities that we can find that are general. That we can start yeah. with, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
you know, you have a very valid point, but it's almost like saying, well, you know, what speedball player has hit more hoppers? Like, does it matter? Do you know what I mean? Or yeah. like, you know,
yeah.
how many have they got hit on their chicken wings? Like, and I'm not saying that the guys that are, you know, doing the medics aren't important. They absolutely are, but I just don't know how to. I'm just trying to start with whatever I can, right? Best costumes, you know, that's another thing that
yeah.
you know it'd be really cool, yeah. right?
But we used to do that. We used to have a best yeah. costume. We had people dressing whenever we did our themed games. You'd have fantastic buy-in. Remember we did the when the invasion, and we had that guy out dressed up like he was on a camel in his yeah, Taliban yeah. outfit, man. That was yeah. great. And you know, you would have guys dressed up in best costume, and it wasn't it wasn't a sea of jerseys.
The problem is you get guys like Gavin Sharma who comes in a furry outfit and doesn't understand the whole cosplay thing. There's a time and a place, Gavin. He says I miss the costumes in the live chat.
Yeah, furries should not be kicking off hoppers. That's all I'm saying. But it's very tricky, and it's like, and then you know you have the other aspect where it comes down to, you know, whenever generals at the end of the game choose whoever they're gonna give out their awards to, right?
Yeah.
And that's gonna change a lot.
But think about this. So, okay, I remember back many years ago, there were local teams, and they would call you and say, "Hey, are you going to this game? Can you play for me? And I would say, well, yes or no, blah, blah, blah. But then you get the general on the other side call you the next day and say, hey, I heard you're playing for them, but if you come play for us, like, you can stage in our team tent. And, you know, we offer these things. And they try to outbid each other to get what they would deem to be good players. Can you imagine if there was a ranking system and they go, okay, look, Joe's ranked. He's got a 63% win rate right now. We should get him on our team because he's on the high side. Let's, you know, think of how people would be henpecking players because of that. Much like how, you know, pro guys pick up other guys because their rankings are great, right? I just think of how that would change the nuances of how, you know, teams are formed and stuff, right? But
there'd be a lot of, it'd be like a hot schoolyard team picking because, but you'd be based on rank.
Yeah. Well, look, Richard in the live chat says picking awards for people really suck. Because again, like, if you're busy doing your general duties and you don't necessarily see everyone on the field, how do you really know if you're picking the right people, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just had a point and I totally lost.
Josh Nutt, nice to see you in the live chat. He says, we already do handpick players for scenario games. Absolutely. You know?
Yeah, but then you also have certain games where it's a system where it's a draft, right? So not everyone necessarily goes on the teams they want to sometimes.
Yeah.
They get drafted to certain teams.
If you're late to the game then you just show up game day and your red team needs players, then you go on the red team whether regardless of your ranking.
Yeah. And I think I were to go play a game, let's say you're invited to go play somewhere and it's a field that you want to play at really bad and you don't really know who the generals are, and you go on PB Leagues or whatever this fictitious place would be, and you go, well, that general has a 3 or 4% more winning rate, maybe I'll go on his side. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you also have to take into consideration what type of games are being done. For instance, you have guys who, you know, they'll get together and they'll play like the same 40 guys like every other weekend, and they'll call it their big game at their field.
Yeah.
And it's like you have the same 40 guys playing 40, you know, 40, 80 guys playing each other like every other weekend. Like, do those guys get to put their numbers in the pot? When it's, you know, it's not necessarily when it's, you know, it could be the same generals winning every other weekend. So,
and you know what? I don't know the answer to any of this. I'm winging it, thinking what we could universally start with. And I will preface this right away. And someone, I'm going to read his comment here. He says, he basically says, why do we need this? I just want to keep my scenario game fun. And I agree with you. Alex Boyd says, no, thank you. And then Martello Swasp says, nothing, not everything has to be competitive. I agree with you. I think if I go to a big game, I mean, yes, I want to win that game and all that sort of stuff. And having all the stats and stuff would be silly. It would take the fun right out of it. But on the same token, kind of would be neat too.
Yeah, I said something similar on the chat somewhere previous. It is part of the fun, is that, but when we play these games, we do want to win. Like, we fight hard for these points. We're in swamps, we're in doing a kind of crazy missions. We do want to win, but at the end of the day, it's like, you know, we all have fun and we all have, you know, drinks and laugh about it later and everything like that. So
yeah,
it depends on that competitive edge, I guess you have.
Yep. It's, and I mean, like, you know, you go to these big games and you do your best to try to win, and then you get sabotaged by people serving you dashboard charcuterie and, like, yeah, looking at you, Gavin. If you guys get a chance, go back and look at all the conversations on our Facebook page. Bradley Odell, he's got a couple of really good points on here. They're very lengthy, but very well written. Go back and look at some of these. Neb Nella had a couple comments. Go back and read it. It's pretty interesting. We would be here for an hour if I were to read everybody's comments. But I think the common thread, though, is none of us really have a real answer to
Bobby. Yeah, it's a Bobby very Dow, in-depth answer.
Bobby Dow said it would have to be a centralized organization like NXL, maybe a branch called the NWL for the Woods Ball or the NML, which for MagFed. So you'd have to have a centralized something, is what he said. But who knows?
Yeah, and there's another thing, right? Like, are you going to separate regular scenario play from MagFed games, from pump games, you know what I mean?
Okay, let's start it this way. Let's have this conversation with a twist. Forget us overtaking your favorite scenario games and big games. Let's start something from scratch, right?
Like paintball with
spots. Let's start with something like the NXL has 5 events. Let's say we have 20 events and it's a set of rules that every field has to abide by. Maybe it's a certain size. Maybe it's a certain, you know, firing rate. Maybe it's whatever. Maybe, you know, let's start as MagFed only, right? Like something that's that specific that you can narrow down and just have it so that if you want a competitive thing and you want to get involved in this, you do it. But we don't mess around with like the super games and all these other things. Could that be easier for this process?
What about if you formed an organization like the whatever league this is, and everybody buys in and pays $20 for league, and they get a number, and you, Todd, show up at the field to play on the weekend. Ooh. And then you scan in that day, and you're using a pump gun. So you're now they know that you're using a pump gun, and you're ranked for the day as a pump. Say I show up and I want to use a MagFed gun. And I scan in and I just hit MagFed. For that day, I'm using a MagFed. That's how I get my rankings.
Yeah.
So maybe it's like that. That way you can play whatever genre you want, and that the day you participate is the type of paintball marker and the genre that you're using for that day.
Yeah.
You just form an association.
But I think if you're going to form this league or this competitive thing, it would have to be its own entity with its own rules. And I'm thinking now that we don't touch any of the existing things. We start from scratch, and it's at fields that have the ability to host it, much like, you know, you can't host an NXL event if your ground isn't flat in a certain size, right? So could, you know, and maybe it's at events that have a central castle, you know, like an EMR or a super game, or, you know, any field that has a primary, you know, thing. And then within that, there's certain missions or objectives or timed, you know, you switch sides, you get an hour to defend or something like that. But something simple that could be franchised, and the people that run it could then take that, box it up, and go to another event, another field location, and set it up there. Do you know what I mean?
Almost
like that'd be a little.
And they would have like digital buttons to keep track of exactly what time and how many times it was pressed. And
I think it would be better to incorporate a system like that where it could go to almost any event. But like what you're talking about is very specific, as
much
you said
earlier. Much like NXL Speedball is, right? Like in order to do that, even have an offshoot league, you have to follow all of those rules. You have to have the same bunkers, which we can't obviously do in scenario. And you have to.
Isn't that what UWL is for, though?
Well,
it is. But I want, like, I don't want speedball. I want guys that play woodsball and scenario to be able to have their own way to compete if they wanted to.
Come up with a different term instead of woodsball.
I like woodsball. I play in the woods. No,
but then you play in buildings, and you would play in a parking lot. That's not woods. Is there not a better term for woodsball?
I don't know.
Recreation, but it's a hard word to say.
Tom used scenario, and then people are crying that scenario. Some games aren't scenario, and then other
some
people
are
crying.
Games.
Now that's what I'm saying, right? Like, how do you?
Yeah.
How do you decide? How do you decipher that? Everyone's got their own opinions on which is what.
That's next week's topic, Todd. Coming up with a new term for paintball that is not that other than woodsball. See what people come up with.
Yeah.
Maybe people in Brazil or Guyana. There's a guy from Guyana watching. Maybe they have a different term in Guyana that would be better than woodsball. I'd be interested to know that.
Yeah. I'm further thinking about this. You know how I was saying, like, if they had a general castle or something like that, it really wouldn't even matter, because as long as the game had the division of time, so whatever you had to attack, you had the same amount to defend, so that even if the field wasn't the same between each paintball field, you still have the same abilities and the same timing, right? Because every NXL event has different bunker layouts, so you know, that kind of says something.
And then Yeah. No, I was just thinking about like a game that's complex. Like you play Decay of Nations, yeah. which has not only a third faction, but they also have mechs, yeah. which are like, you know, dudes in big body armor, and they're considered tanks yeah. and stuff like that.
And then
like,
how do you deal with the super game that has the three factions and the third faction is the one that exactly. you can hire, you know, the Renegade faction, which I love playing on. Because then you get to see yeah. the entire field at all times, and you're always kind of the one behind the eight ball, which is nice, right? So
yeah. It's tricky, but like you said, a group needs to be formed, an objective group that needs to be formed that can, you know, start putting all this stuff together, and then, you know, try and come, you know, get the logistics down and try and figure yeah. out how we can make these things adapt. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Did make someone enter your convenience store? That's what it sounded no, just, like.
It's my daughter getting home with her new car, probably.
Yeah.
But it's like I said, I don't want these games to change. I like going to one game yeah. and having one different scenario than another one, and having that variety and playing, you know, I could go to one game and all you have to do is pull flags and get territory, and then I can go to another game where you have to, you know, decrypt locks and undo yeah. safes.
All right.
You know what I mean?
So then let's say we leave everything alone and we kind of go back to the original question. How can we recognize and be a part of an award show to give away, you know, kudos to those that deserve it in the scenario Woods Ball recreation format? I guess at this point we kind of can't give away, you know, best players and best generals because we really can't track that. But we did give away prizes to best new field. We did give some general, you know, best generals and stuff that away, but what else could we do? How can we bring that sort of population into this award, or at least recognize them? Maybe not award, but.
Well, you also have to ask yourself, how many, like say Major League Paintball gives out 100 awards at a show. What percentage of those should be Woods Ball / scenario?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, then you have to break down that percentage and see what would be your primary goals.
But again, like, I'm not picking on you for saying this, but the NXL and the Major League Paintball really has no business. Like, it's not their...
It's not their battle.
It's not their battle. It's not their format, right? Like, good for them for at least bringing in what they did, right? Yeah. And I'm not trying to be a jackass saying this. I'm giving Tom some kudos for at least involving, but everybody keeps blaming like NXL or Tom or the manufacturers when it's not always their issue, right? Like Tom's done a really good job taking competitive speedball and putting it into a, you know, a funnel so everybody kind of follows the same format, making it super successful. I just don't know if we can do that with scenario paintball.
The great thing about that event was how many people got together.
Yeah.
And how many industry heads and field owners and, you know, corporation heads were at that event. And that networking was insane. You know what I mean? So it would be cool if our Woods Ballers, sorry, I'm sticking to that term. It would be cool if our Woods Ballers could be shown to that crowd. Yeah. To see, you know, what we're capable of. And I mean, we could create our own thing and then, you know, you have a scenario award show and you have a speedball award show. But again, that they're not going to go to both.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if you took World Cup, for example, where you have 600 or 650 NXL teams, then you have your trade show, and on one side of the trade show you have the NXL doing their speedball, on the other side of the trade show you have the World Cup big game or scenario game, and you have people from all over the world or all over the continent showing up at World Cup to see the release of new products at World Cup, getting maybe checking out some NXL games, but then playing in the World Cup annual big game. Talk about paintball promotion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also think that I also think we're putting a lot on NXL. I think new products, new things like that. Like, I think Joe's idea is great, but I think if you're looking for new product releases and you're looking for stuff like that, I think that should still be back on the summit. Now that we have a successful summit. And the thing is, it was perfectly timed. If you didn't want anything to do with the NXL, you didn't have to deal with the NXL. You could come on Sunday night, go to this players party if you wanted to, this award show, and then start your week with the summit and do that. I thought that was great. And you got to see all of the great products. If you're, you know, if you're just the average public person who's not within the industry and still wants to see all of the offerings, come a day early, and the NXL has all the vendors and more than they had at the summit, all displaying their wares on Sunday. So
see, that was the cool thing about when they used to have, I can't remember the, I think it was maybe PSP, but when they used to have the big tournaments at the same time as Living Legends.
Yeah,
PSP. And you had everyone there at one time. Yeah, I guess it was PSP. And in Chicago, and you had both groups there at one time, and they could experience each other's support. Yeah. Like, that was a great meld of both genres.
I thought that was a great event, and I love seeing the scenario guys bumping elbows with, you know, the Jersey guys. I thought it was great. And I remember we went out for a couple hours in the afternoon. I think it was on, I don't know what day it was, Sunday, I guess. And I remember, like, guys like Mr. Yu and a handful of pro guys that were unfortunately not playing Sunday, but were out playing the game. And they kind of fell in with us, and we started playing with them. And it was awesome.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, I digress. All right. Well, we really didn't get anywhere, but I think we can kind of agree that if we were to ever score scenario Woods Ball big games, it would have to be done under one roof, I think.
Yeah.
And then there would have to be commonalities that every field would have to adopt. Otherwise, it's not fair.
Yeah. And like I was saying before, I've been to so many different styles of games and so many different rules, and you guys have too. Like, it would have to be vague enough that all these different games can still fit within the qualifications, but at the same time maintain that legitimacy that would be able to raise something at the end of the year. You know what I mean? So it's like I said, I do not want to decrease what we have now. I think the variety of games are amazing. I mean, it's just a matter of, like, kind of keeping track, and, you know, maybe we could all the scenario / Woods Ball players could, you know, sign. We could create a database that we could all sign into for the events that we're playing. You know what I mean? Yeah. And just try to keep everyone on somewhat of a level playing ground that incorporates any style of big game. You know, as long as it's a certain size and, you know, takes a... You don't want to restrict the imaginations of the producers out there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We don't want them saying, oh, we can only do this, so we're going to do this. Like,
you know,
we want to keep that fun, stylistic endeavors that they have on all these psychotic different games and the weird rules and stuff, but still be able to keep some kind of score in the long run.
At the end of the day, unfortunately, we are messing with 90% of the world's paintball right now, because the rest of them just want to keep it fun and go out and have fun. So I guess we just leave well enough alone. I mean, how many times have you gone out to play paintball where that's it? You just want to go and play, and you don't care who wins or loses.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. You just want to kick some hoppers off, and
It'll take some work, but if it's meant to be, it shall happen.
So I spent last show, Wolf, telling the guys here in the studio and everybody at home just how awesome I thought the Summit Awards and industry show was. Was I full of hot air, or were you back me on that?
It was outstanding. It was really cool to experience that. I think, you know, there could be a small, you know, a few things that could change about it, but overall it was an amazing, experience. And I think everyone who watches this show should be involved and go to something like that just to experience what it felt like. Tom Those guys went all, it was a full-on production. I've never seen anything like that ever before in paintball.
Yeah, they had Darren from Go Sports doing all the technical stuff. Like, I mean, visually it was very,
oh my gosh,
it was beautifully done.
The venue was top notch. Like the Sahara Hotel or Resort, you know, they had like their huge, massive, big screens. Like, you, it's hard to tell on video, but like on the outside of the venue, on the inside of it, they had, you know, the paintball logos on the big screens. Whenever they talked about players, they would show their highlights on the big screens, like it was the Oscars or something. It was phenomenal. And was it Yosh who was doing the emceeing? And cracking the jokes, I think. But it is just, the MCs were great. It was awesome. That's all I can say.
So if someone bombed the Sphere right now, the Sahara that we were at had the biggest LED screens or the most LED screens or whatever their bragging rights were before the Sahara. But it was pretty cool. I am disappointed. I thought for sure... or I wished at least that Tom would have had all of the crab pre-shelled so I didn't have to, you know, crack my own. But it was good otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, little things. It's like the little things. I would have had more tables there to sit in front of the stage. So, you know, ladies wearing heels and stuff so they get off their feet and stuff like that. But, you know, all that stuff can be worked out later. But it was like it was wonderful to be there. And I was so blessed that... I just from my point of view, that there's like a lot of tournament players, like a lot, and I was so honored that these guys were coming up to me and say, first of all, they made me feel old because they come up to me and they go, hey man, I was watching your videos since I was a kid, and that's how I, you know, I watch your videos, and that's how I discovered tournament ball and all that stuff. And I had no idea, like, you know, that how it went. You know, I always thought it was one or the other type of thing. But for us to network and party with the other side of paintball is such a cool experience. I think everyone needs to try.
What I liked about it was it was like I went to NXL event and I went to a scenario game event, because all of our, like, you know, Ryan Sexton, Brian Barno, like all these, you know, scenario guys were all there at the same venue that all the NXL guys were at. And it was just nice to be able to have a one-stop shop to see everybody again.
Absolutely. There was a lot of great conversations between the two sides, and it needs to happen again.
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, so all is well. And thank you. First of all, I haven't even thanked Wolf for being on the show tonight, because, it was sort of a last minute effort. We knew Gavin was unfortunately not going to be here. Bad cheese. And then Josh got sick. So, yeah, it was sort of a last minute thing. So I do appreciate you being on the show tonight.
It's always my pleasure, brother. You know,
you've, I love y'all. You've had a lot of us in the last little...
Listen, and by the way, it was awesome to hang out in Vegas. Hopefully, you know, we can get the whole... Behind the Bunker crew
absolutely
to next year, and then we could, you know, maybe do a live stream as we cook our meat in front of the the waitresses.
Yeah.
Sounds completely wrong.
That's pretty good, Wolf. I get it.
That was a good experience, and I think the guys here at the show were all going to get together one night and go for some Korean barbecue, because I enjoyed that quite enough. I will say, you are one of the most unlucky people to be around. I won nothing in your proximity, so. And I appreciate you repaying my 40 cents that I lent you, so that was nice.
Well, you know, they're gonna break my legs and stuff, but you gotta do what you gotta do.
It's Vegas. Oh well, what else do we want to do tonight, Joe? Should we let's do this real quick, and then we're gonna come back and finish up here. We already talked about our newest show sponsor, Aer Lingus, but let's talk about someone else, like Planet Eclipse. From the point man to podium, Planet Eclipse Performance Paintball Hardware and Gear is designed, manufactured, and perfected to operate when the pressure is on or when there is no pressure at all. Get Planet Eclipse, ladies and gentlemen, and take on the world.
Plumes, pluffs, and clouds. EG Smokes gives you the color, cover, color, and contrast you need if you're taking pictures in the picture and want to be out of the picture. Pull a pin on an EG product. Hashtag pop smoke.
Rome was not built in a day, but you sure can look good while doing it. Ruthless now offers fully sublimated team packages, everything you need to look good on the road to victory. Use promo code BTB15 to save 15% on your order. Is this me too? Exalt, often imitated or copied but never duplicated. The Exalt brand is constantly evolving to keep you out front and in the game. Tournament ready, battle proven, available worldwide.
DLX Technologies, creators of the TM40 and the new Idol, and other accessories used by some of the best. Light, sleek, and fast. Only from available from DLX.
Whether you're riding on pavement, pathway, sand, or gravel, you can blaze your own trail with a one week. With a one wheel, and before you ride off into the sunrise or sunset, use the promo code BTB10 for 10% off a ride at Ride519. #Ride519. Is everything bigger in Texas? It is at Tank's Big Man Adventure Park, Houston's one stop for all ages action. Tank hits its targets every time with jelly ball, low impact and regular paintball, airsoft and axe throwing. Book your next adventure with the Big Man. #GetTanks.
Thank you to all of our sponsors, and thank you to Charles Holton. He says late reads. And then Phoenix Gasparini commenting thick plumes with full thick frontal coverage, EG.
Like it thick, baby.
Yeah, yeah. So I know we're not streaming right now on YouTube, and normally that's where we go for a quick after show. But we're going to just stay here on Facebook for another few minutes, and I'm going to ask you guys, because something I just finished watching last night. Did any of you guys watch the new Roadhouse?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Joe?
I haven't watched it.
Okay. And we're not going to give any spoilers away,
fine.
But... Matt?
No. Not a chance.
Yeah. I had to, because I enjoyed the original, and I knew it was going to suck, well, comparatively speaking, but I had to check it out. And
Wolf, what's your opinion?
Yeah.
Todd poo-pooed it.
Well, I didn't... Yes, I did. What do you think?
Was it terrible?
It was campy. Would that be a good way to describe it?
As somebody who was a hardcore Roadhouse fan back in the day, I loved Roadhouse. I loved the original. I saw it in theaters. In my college days, I worked as a bouncer, so I used to watch that movie before I'd go into work at night to bounce at the nightclubs, which is cheesy, but it, you know, it got you ready. And I'm also a movie buff, so you have to try and take into consideration that A, it's an action flick, and B, it's a remake of an action flick, so it's not going to be perfect. But there's little things. I was not a fan of Connor. He could have done much better acting than what he did. Walking around an entire movie like this was just a little weird. The sound mixing for the movie seemed off to me. Like sometimes, you know, that you could not hear what they were saying, and sometimes it was too loud and the explosions were not loud. It's just weird sound mixing. The plot, you're not there for a plot. It's an action movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was okay. It wasn't great. It wasn't horrible. It was okay.
Okay, so you say you like the original. I have to admit that I'm super disappointed that my favorite line that gets repeated about 100 times in the original didn't get said once in the remake. And it's not giving anything away, but not one person said to Jake Gyllen shirtless, not one of them said, "I thought you'd be bigger." That is the that's something that they said to Patrick Swayze every time a new person met him, right?
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
It's true.
And the thing I like... Sorry, one more point. This is my nerdiness. Nerdiness coming out. I liked that Swayze was kind of a kung fu / Thai fighting guy. Like he has some style technique to it. And I know the UFC is what's in now and what's cool now, but it kind of missed that. I mean, his character had a very calm demeanor, which kind of kept that same Swayze calm demeanor that he had. So I like that a lot about it. I'm not a huge fan of UFC, so I can't comment on the fighting techniques used in it, but it was very interesting the way they filmed the fighting itself. Sometimes it was cool. Sometimes the camera was moving around a little too much.
Yeah. Gavin Charm in the live chat says the new Roadhouse sucked homeless guys' feet. I think for what I paid for it, like, okay, so I know that the director filmed it and sound edited the sound for it to be done for a big screen. Yeah. Unfortunately, he got screwed and Amazon took it out of the theaters and sent it straight to their streaming service. So that's why it's going to be a little off. But for what you pay for it on Amazon Prime, if you already have it anyways, it's worth a watch because you kind of have to watch it. It is campy. It's kind of funny. Like, I'm not giving anything away here, but my wife laughed out loud when Connor punched Jake Gyllenhaal through a window, right? And it just was so stupid that whatever. I just, yeah.
So. And I know the guy who produced that movie too, which is funny, Joel Silver, who's a friend of mine and friend of the family. But it could have been a lot better, man. Like I don't know. Maybe they should have used like a. No, they couldn't do that because the Americans would freak out. I was gonna say use like a, you know, the guy who plays Ip Man, Donnie Yen or something like that. But Jake is an amazing actor, a phenomenal actor. I think he worked with what he had. So I can't, you know, you can't really blame him. My favorite guy in the movie, though, was Broken Arm Guy. That's all I'm going to say. I love that guy.
Yeah. I think they could have cast a better person for Conor McGregor's part. He was too big.
Absolutely.
And when you put him against, you know, Gyllenhaal, he didn't look right. And then the other thing is villain.
You mean Conor's too small?
Nope. No, he's too thick. Like, if you put them side by each, there's no way Gyllenhaal would win a fight against those two.
No, I don't know. But Gyllenhaal is taller than him, though.
Okay, maybe, but I don't know.
I didn't see much in the size difference. I just thought he was trying to look and make himself look bigger. And then, the way he walked the entire movie.
And then this is the last comment I have. The main character, who's the evil guy, they could have casted someone better than someone who looks like Shooter McGavin. So he was not very believable.
What a reference. Holy gee, that's awesome.
Yeah, do you also hear that they're recasting for Happy Gilmore 2?
You better be lying.
No, they're redoing.
No,
they're
it's Happy it's Gilmore in the works. 2.
Yeah.
100%.
Another movie that you shouldn't watch that will probably go straight to Prime.
What, Happy Gilmore?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Happy Gilmore is a classic.
It is.
The original, but yes.
Yes, but not any remake of that? Forget it.
No, I think it would be a sequel. It's not going to be a remake.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just looked
at listen, you never know. Yeah. Once in a while, they'll remake something, and it does come out pretty darn good. So you never know.
I will admit, Top Gun wasn't bad. It's not as good as the original one. You know, and the half-naked football scene on the beach could have been longer, but it's fine. It was good. All right.
It made me feel old, but other than that, it was great.
Yes. Brought you back to your college days. So, listen, guys, we're going to end this here. Unfortunately, we're slightly over time. Wolf, thank you officially for being on the podcast tonight. We do appreciate the last minute, Phil.
All the pleasure and honor, sir.
Not that you weren't a good first choice, but... Yeah. And Joe Kimson from Flaggarters Paintball.
Thanks for watching, everybody. Remember, it's garbage night, but it's not garbage. It's just green bin and recycling. So we'll get that.
It's garbage
out.
Night for me.
Garbage night for Wolf. There you go.
And we'll see Shooter McSharma next week, as well as Zuby Zabrickis. And thank you to Matt for producing tonight. We'll see all of you guys next week. Don't forget to hit that like and share on the way out.